Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
This is the new Frogger Home video game, Ribbit. It's just like the arcade games. Very lifelike, Ribbit. See, you have to hop Frogger past these cars and trucks. Ha, missed, Ribbit. Past the snakes, onto the logs, ooh, and the alligators in the river. Ribbit, Ribbit, and back home to his lily pad. Phew, Frogger is absolutely riveting. The new Frogger Home video game. Bring it back to your pad.
Sega's arcade game, now a home video game. From Parker Brothers, the ones to beat.
Parker Brothers.
I don't know if I can trust that guy. That seems weird.
Yeah. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Play Retro. I'm one of your hosts, Scott Johnson, and I've had it with these effing variable length logs. Okay? I've had it. If they don't start standardizing soon, I'm going to have to turn around and go the other way that frogs go, and that's home. Also, somebody help George get his thing across the street before he loses the high score.
Oh, true story. Poor guy. Oh, we're going to talk about that, too. Yeah. That is so... Oh, that really triggers those old school arcade games. We'll talk about it. Anyway, and I'm your other host, Brian Dunaway, and I is a small frog person. Hopped across five lanes of traffic only to be done in by drowning while squatted on the backs of turtles that dive. I, as a small frog, I will remind you, do not know how to swim, apparently. Oh, hi, Lady Frog. Want a ride? Cool, be back. Bye later to pick you up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
By the way, waited around until Frogger 2, you could swim somehow. Somehow the frog swims in Frogger 2.
It changed.
Yeah. Up till then, though, they were like, oh, if he falls in the water, that frog's going to die. And boy, howdy. And if you're on the Atari, they're like, hey, those used to be turtles. Don't worry. Those are just circles now. It's not turtles.
I love the one thing I do love about Frogger in all of his forms is usually his death scenes are really fast. It's like, and it's just like, you're a skull
and you start over. You're done and you're back to the thing because they want your quarters quick, Brian. That's what.
Yeah, they don't mess around, man.
No. So quick thing before we get to Frogger, our main topic today, I do want to mention that I was in Las Vegas last week for a bit of a getaway with the family and we had a great time. You might say, well, Scott, what did you do to get your gaming on while you were gone? And I have three answers plus some, but I mainly focused on these. I went all retro, took my Steam Deck, played Metroid Fusion, a ton of it. Again, I played it like four times over. I'm playing it again. I love Metroid Fusion. It's my favorite Metroid game.
It's so good.
Yoshi's Island, which is Super Mario Brothers 2, or Super Mario World 2, technically.
Okay.
Yoshi's Island, fantastic game, playing that again. Oh, and I should mention I'm playing, obviously with Fusion, this is true, but the GBA versions of all of these games.
Okay.
And Mario 3, which came out as Super Mario Advance 4, but it's technically a remaster of 3, which looks great as parallax scrolling. Like, it's just a better version of 3. And I played all three of those, like, nonstop. I loved them. Those games are great.
You were in Vegas, but you were doing the family thing, right? So
yeah,
we weren't on duty.
No, we were watching kids most of the time while my daughter and her husband had some fun. And then occasionally, we were all doing stuff together here and there, lots of stuff at the pool or whatever. But like at night when the kids are going to bed and we had to kind of just be there, crank up that Steam Deck, play me some retro games, baby.
It sounds like you got more gaming in while you were gone than you might have if you had stayed at home and been distracted by life.
I think you're not wrong. In fact, I kind of clocked the time and it was more time than I usually have at night to play games.
So I love the Steam Deck, man. I think you can order it and get them instantly still, yeah, I think.
You can get them now.
What was it? I think we haven't talked about the Steam Deck in a while, but I got the middle range one without the reflective screen or whatever.
The anti-reflective?
Mine does. I didn't have the anti-glare. I opted for a aftermarket solution, and it's fine.
It's fine that way, yeah. You get a cover for it, it's fine. Mine is, I waited a year to get mine, and then when mine finally got to me, because that's how long the delay was, they immediately were available for everybody whenever they wanted.
Yeah, I think I waited longer than you, but I think I only waited like 2 months, and now I think people are just getting them instantaneously. You order it, and then it comes.
Yeah. Yeah, it's not a problem now. They've got good stock. But anyway, I love that damn thing. It's great. I play all sorts of stuff on it. My modern games, my retro games, and really everything in between.
Everything in between, Scott.
That's right, Brian. It's a hell of a thing. I want to get my hands on it at least. I don't think it's affordable for someone who already has a Steam Deck, because I don't know if there's a big advantage, but the Asus ROG Ally is out now. Well, they're taking pre-orders.
I did see that.
Yeah. That looks pretty cool. The specs are really nice. It should on paper be a pretty hot little device. It's expensive though. You're gonna spend $700 for it. But I'm curious from the retro community what stuff ends up happening there. So my guess is it'll be similar to what's happening on the Steam Deck, except the native OS on the ROG will be Windows.
Right.
You could put other stuff on there, but.
And we're in a fascinating time because Phil Spencer said just this past week, you know, that guy.
Yeah. Xbox guy.
That guy. He had mentioned that. I guess they have accepted the fact that they'll never catch up with Sony or Nintendo, and they make some adjustments for that. And so they also announced a release of like 3 games that are going to be on the NVIDIA cloud gaming service.
Yep. Gears 5 is already on there as of this week. So you can play Gears 5.
Right. No specific announcements, but it's definitely the temperature that's going on over at Microsoft of how they're seeing where they're going forward.
They just want to do services, man. This has been a strategy for years now. It all had to do with Redfall being a complete nightmare, horrible launch. It was an awful game.
Right.
And everybody decided that was the time to turn on Microsoft and go, you can't put out a good AAA game. How can we? And he basically just says, look, the console wars are a stupid fight. We're not interested anymore.
Maybe.
We don't want to do that anymore. We don't care about that. What we care about is you subbing to our game service.
Well, and that's nothing has been more advantageous for us retro gamers than the streaming, this kind of streaming services they're going with. I mean, Nintendo has really finally in the last 3-4 years has really embraced bringing all these games back and putting them in their store, and Microsoft doing the same, as well as a special level of PS Plus that allows you access to their older games. So as a gamer in general, it's great, but as a retro gamer, it's given us options for stuff that we hadn't seen. You'd have to do emulation or real hardware.
Yeah.
So
speaking of Metroid Fusion, entry. That's coming to Nintendo Online. I guess it's the upper tier. It's the Plus service, which costs more.
Yeah,
That's coming. Maybe it's out now. It was coming soon. I wish they wouldn't piecemeal so slow on that service, though. Just put it all out there, you guys. You're just emulating your own games. It's not like there's some secret vault you can only squeeze so much out of per month or whatever.
Like, it's not like we're picky or anything.
No, just put it all out. We don't care. We don't care.
I am looking at this Asus ROG Ally. I really haven't dug too deep in it. I'm seeing. They got one at Best Buy, the 512, and is similarly priced to the Steam Deck. It's $699.
It's $50 more, than the top model.
Yeah,
yeah.
And the one I'm looking at here is white.
Yeah, they're all white. That's all they have right now.
I'm excited about that. I wasn't sure if they had other colors, but I bold move to have a handheld system all white.
They figure if you can afford the $700, you keep your hands clean, so it won't look all gross. You know, I don't know.
Right.
I don't know, but the reviews have been flowing in. It does seem to be the reviews have generally said, though, basically this, like on paper, there are some specs that exceed what the Steam Deck is capable of,
which you would expect because it's later in development.
Yeah.
Right?
In actual functional use, no one's going to notice. Like it's not they're incremental increases. So I guess what that means is if you've got a Steam Deck already, you're good. You don't need to worry about this run.
Right.
if you haven't done any of this, then start looking into sort of feature specifics and see which one matches you, and then you'll have a choice. So choice is always good. Brian, tell me about your OG Xbox that you bought, which is also white, weirdly enough.
That's one of the reasons why I pointed that out. So you guys may know that I love collecting stuff from all generations of retro, and I was looking at getting an Xbox because I did not have one, the original Xbox that came out. And everything I have from that generation was either was silver. And I was like, oh, did they ever make any color other than black Xboxes? The answer is no, not really. So I went on eBay and I looked around, and there was a guy on there or a person there that was doing reconditioned Xboxes, going through, making sure the caps were all good and everything. And they were doing these amazing paint jobs. And I was like, I can either pay $100 for one this black, or I can pay $200 for one this kind of a special item. Yeah. And I was like, I couldn't quite pull the trigger. They sent me a message and said, how about $175? And I said, okay, deal, done. And so now in my hands, I've launched it. I've got it in my hands. It's this beautiful Xbox original, and it's got this wonderful paint job. And I can smell the paint on it. It almost smells like automotive paint.
Oh, really?
Like, I'm not really sure.
It could
about
be automotive
that.
Grade. I don't know.
Yeah, the person who did this did an amazing job, and I'd seen the reviews, and people had loved what he was doing. But there's more of these online. But I got the last white one. There's like a red one and a blue and some other color. But I was very excited to get this bad boy, and I could not order that. It just came with the basic console. But I could not order an original Xbox and not order myself a Duke. That's right. Yeah, I had to get the OG original Duke controller that came with the Xbox. And if you don't know what that is, it's a giant freaking controller that to this day still makes me laugh. I think about those kids. I have big hands, right? So didn't surprise me. But, you know, if those kids getting these things in, and it's just so freaking giant. The S-Type wasn't far behind this, but...
It's like holding a personal pan pizza. It's a freaking huge.
It's, you know, if you ever had a Dreamcast controller, it's about that size, but way heavier than a Dreamcast controller.
It's a beast.
It was the next logical decision, but it didn't take long for people to realize that, you know, if you bought this for your kid or, you know, anybody did not have giant hands, which I do, it was instant pain.
Yeah, it's a beast. But the S controller, let's see, that one looks, let me find it here.
Yeah, the S type controller is more like what we have today. It was like the precursor to the 360 controller.
There it is. Yeah, this is a lot. It's got these weird angles on it, but you're right. It's a lot closer to what we'd end up with 360 and beyond.
Yeah, I remember how excited I was. Also had gotten Mad Catz had the mini controllers, and they were even smaller than the S-Type. So Mad Catz immediately saw the problem as well, and they released something that was even tinier, and I got those for the kids at that time so that we could play stuff like Fusion Frenzy.
Yeah, I remember that. I love
that game.
Fusion Frenzy. You know that Bill Gates says that's his favorite video game of all time.
It has to be. It's party games. Yeah. It's just so much fun.
Yeah.
It's just so much fun. I love it.
Mad Catz still making these ugly things. So if you want
one. Oh, yeah. Those little tiny little controllers. They're ridiculously small.
Yep. They're for the little
hands. I need to get one of those so I can actually hold up to the Duke because little I had several hands. Of those.
Oh, you should do a whole thing where you compare sizes.
Because that's about to do right now. In addition to the Xbox thing, and more on point to our topic today is Frogger. And in my hand, I have two Parker Brothers carts, one for an Atari 2600 in my right hand.
Yeah, the big one.
And then I have one that is the Atari 5200, which goes in my 600 XL 8-bit computer. So as you can tell, a good bit of difference in size.
The chips inside are about the same, or is it just the plastic outside bigger? And, you know, we don't.
That's a great question. And I actually looked at that. If you look at the actual cart at the bottom where the electronics sticks out, so you can plug it into the
circuit
slot.
Board.
The smaller cartridge actually has the larger board.
Wow. Weird.
Yeah. So, and this Parker Brothers, the 2600 kind of flops around. Do you know there was also, and we're going to talk about this shortly too, there was also one called the Official Frogger that was right from Sega. Yeah. I didn't know this until this past week.
Yeah. In fact, that ad I played at the top of the show had a reference to the Sega arcade game,
Weird.
Which I did not know was a thing. Wait, I'll play that part.
Sega's arcade game, now a home video game.
See, that's crazy.
Now a whole video game.
Now a whole video game. Never trust a guy that talks like that. Don't do it. All right. Well, speaking of which, we got to get our frog on, so we're going to do it now. So get ready, everybody. Here it comes.
Shall we play a game?
I think so. I think we should play the original Frogger. You control a frog. You got to guide him across a busy road, not get run over by trucks and cars and stuff. There's a hazardous river that apparently frogs can't swim in. You got to avoid obstacles. You got to go get the whole goal is to get your frog home at the top of the screen. And it gets harder every time you play a new level. I would like to play a little bit of sound to give people a taste of what Frogger was like in the day. Yep. You hear that? That's a bunch of successful frogging. That's how you know you're successful at Frogger, if you hear all this noise.
Yeah, because when you don't hear the punk, that means you're doing good.
That's right. Frogger is a very fun game even to this day. It really does just boil down to you got a timer. Some of these turtles go underwater. Some of these logs disintegrate. You best get all five of your frogs up there or you're effed. And that's the game.
It's all about timing. And the gameplay is fast, but you do have times where you can stop and you have to think for a second. It's like, oh, here comes these cars. Here comes the timing. Do it. So it's just a pressure cooker of getting your frog from one side to the other. I always thought of it, though, as a single frog experience. And you just kind of like have to do it, you know, five times.
Right.
I never thought of it. This is supposed to be different frogs or something.
I assume so. Yeah. Cause they stay up there. They live in their little home and they stay up there. So I also had the impression that when you played, it was you and a frog and the frog was just doing it five times. The other thing to remember is sometimes the receptacles up there where you go back home has like a little dragon in there, like a gator, I guess it is.
Yes. It's an alligator or a crocodile.
Always look like a dragon to me. But anyway, if you go in there while he's in there, you're dead. He'll eat you. If you go in there while maybe Frogger,
dragon?
Frogger 2 did something later. Shit, I can't remember.
Oh man, they do so many crazy things as you go along, Frogger. But the most basic Frogger, the first five you get across is just the slowest ever. And then the second time around, then alligators show up on your second five inserts, and then like snakes start showing up. It's all kinds of crazy stuff.
How do you feel about timer games that are making you on a clock? How do you feel about those?
Typically that it annoys me. I don't like hurry up game mechanics.
Yeah.
Me and either. This one has, it's a light hand, at least in this particular version of Frogger. There's plenty of room on the timer, that before you get across, you want to get across before the timer runs out usually.
Yeah.
But it can be an issue later on when everything is just flying by, the logs are going like, you know, 60 miles an hour horizontally across the screen.
Yeah, they're crazy. And, like right now we're looking at some cars that are just losing their freaking mind. The snake is out. I hate the freaking snake.
Oh, the snake's such a pain in the ass. Cause it's like, cause he comes along, there's a midway point in Frogger when you jump in on the screen and it's kind of like a you know, it's like, whew, take a breather. He takes away the breather.
Right. Yeah.
There's no breathing.
There's no breathing. The snake is the anti-breather. Mm-hmm. Yeah. He's a dick, really. and I like riding on the alligator because I feel like I'm screwing with his nature, you know?
I never get on the alligator. It is too unnerving. If you get on his back, it's fine. If you jump in his mouth like in Pitfall, you're dead. And I just couldn't do it. I hate the freaking otter thing.
Oh, the otters, whatever that is. Is it an otter for sure? Do we know that? Because I hate it.
I think in the instructions manual somewhere I think it's an otter. I don't know. Maybe not. It's a beaver. Beaver makes more sense to me, but okay. Maybe it's an otter. Maybe
it's a beaver is a more of a river kind of thing, I would expect.
Yeah, with I'm assuming that the beavers are the ones who cut the logs that are traveling down the path, I assumed.
Do you like the mechanic of you kind of pick up an extra frog on your way and you get bonus points for that?
And the arcade is kind of, it doesn't really establish that you're picking up a girl frog, but like in other iterations, they definitely say you're picking up a girl frog.
Yeah,
you're you're a dude frog and you pick up a girl frog.
Yeah, that's what you do. You're frogging. Yeah. You're doing frogger. And guess what part of frogging is? Picking up a lady frog and getting that work done.
And the reason why you want to get the frog, the reason why you're motivated to do all this stuff is because you get points for it. You get points for hopping successfully, get points for landing at the top of the screen. You get points for picking up the extra frogger person.
Yep.
So you get points for all that crap. And that was the thing that was going on in the Seinfeld episode. George claimed that there was a frogger machine at a location that he had set the high score when he was a kid, and he didn't want to lose that. So he talked Kramer and his buddies into rigging up a some kind of battery powered way to keep it on so they could get it to his house so he'd keep the high score forever.
Right.
If you know anything about Frogger, the arcade, there's no high score. You don't put your name in.
No.
There's none of that. You just have a score and you just brag. That's it.
That's it. That's all you do. That's a great episode of Seinfeld, by the way. Here's a little GIF of him moving across the screen. They actually recreated a top-down camera view of him trying to move Frogger across the road. And then, of course, it gets destroyed by a truck, which is fantastic.
Yeah, which is great. And one of the greatest, and that side of that Frogger machine, that's not a Frogger machine. That's not how the artwork looks.
Nope, didn't look like that at all. They faked that right there. They made two really bad labels out of paper, I think.
I love they got a whole bunch of single colored cars, similar escorts looks like.
Yeah.
It's just one of the most brilliant setups.
No, it's really good. If you haven't seen it, you should. Peter Stormare, or Stormare, however you say his name, is in it.
Yeah.
You know him from a million things like Fargo and all kinds of crap. It's just a great episode. But
there's probably not a more memorable moment from TV in my life than this and the Thanksgiving turkeys in WKRP when they drop them.
Oh yeah.
The turkey drop. That's the two biggest moments in TV that when Edith got raped in All the Family. That's a different kind of feeling though.
Yeah, that's a feeling I don't want to
definitely remember it.
I don't want to remember that very often. Wow. So the one weird bit is this was, we got names on this like Sega and Hasbro and everything else. But there's a little Galaxian you can collect up in the upper frog corner if you hurry up and get into the hubby hole before.
Oh, yeah. Is that a dragonfly or something? I know what you're talking about.
It looks like a Galaga or, Galaxian, yellow Galaxian thing, kind of like Pac-Man uses when he's eating those.
Right. This is a Konami joint.
So how did they get away with that? Do you think they were like aping on somebody else's design for their little
design bug? Was definitely unique. The creator, of course, it was developed by Konami. It was Koji Tom Fukunaga, I think that's how you say it, as the designer.
Nailed it.
And he was working as an employee at Konami at the time. I don't know. It is probably so. I mean, Everything was borrowed from everything else during this time.
It was a little bit different then, right? Different time, different thing.
Yeah.
And of all the games of that era, this one stressed me out the most, like by far.
Oh, absolutely.
I could never get into a zen with it the way I could with Joust or even Pac-Man or something where it gets exponentially harder the further you get. Something about the chaos on this screen, just the number of bullshitteries happening at the same time. Gives me anxiety. It was hard for me to play Frogger.
There was nothing more. I didn't play a lot of Frogger in the arcade, but whenever I did play Frogger or a game similar to Frogger, there's certain types of games where as soon as you drop that quarter, you think about it before you put the quarter in there. You're like, okay, I'm about to put the quarter in here. And when I put it in, it's time to be on point. You got to get yourself ready. You got to breathe for a minute. You drop the coin, the music starts playing, boom, you got to go. It doesn't stop until you're completely dead.
Yeah. Yeah, this I can see. It's a rough piece of business. Now, let's jump over to a console version of the game that you had in your hand a moment ago.
Yes, the Atari 2600 version, the Parker Brothers. So Parker Brothers picked up the rights to sell this in cart form on the Atari 2600 and other consoles.
Now, I have some terrible news for you.
Uh-oh.
This game is bad, in my opinion. Here's some sound from it, which sounds like a typical Atari business.
Right.
And this music ends, it gets a little rough. Oh, that's so hard to hear.
How much is nostalgia for me? But I will say this. I prefer the gameplay of the Frogger Parker Brothers on the Atari 2600 over the arcade version. And the reason why is because your ability to move is so much faster than it is the arcade.
I'll
your
give you
control,
that.
Your control is outrageous, the amount of control you have in Frogger for the Atari 2600. It doesn't look nearly as good. It's trash. The audio
like
sounds
ass.
Not nearly as good.
Yeah.
Nothing else about it is nearly as good.
No, the flickering on the logs kills me. It's so
flickering
hard
on the logs. Your sprite frog can only be at certain areas of the log, because if you think you have enough room to jump further left or right, and you'll die every time.
Yep, you'll die. You don't want to die. You want to live.
No, you don't want to die. The and it's a 4x3 screen, and it seems like the sprites are a little bit larger than the arcade. There's a little more room on screen with the arcade, but man, you can play this thing so fast.
Oh,
it's
yeah.
It's such a fast game.
You know what? I'll give you that. I did mess with this a little bit before I went on the trip, just so I could have a taste.
Taste.
My only complaint was when you got on things that flickered, I thought that meant that it was dissolving or going away. Yeah, like the turtles do in the arcade game. I was sure that's what was going on. So I get on a log and immediately start blinking. I'm like, oh my gosh. And then I realized or I reminded myself, no, dude, this is Atari. This is what happened. This is what those games look like. This is just what you're dealing with. But a lot of people have fond feelings for this version of it. I don't blame you.
Yeah. You can play multiplayer, which was fun. You can play two players. It's like take turns. I play around, you play around, which is great for the Atari for arguments. It's like instead of having somebody play, 12 times in a row, you'd take a turn, then this other person's turn, and you just kind of keep going back and forth. I meant to post this. The one we just looked at was the Parker Brothers Frogger that most of us probably had. I think something like 4 million copies or something of this thing was sold.
Yeah, did all right.
So plenty of people have experience with this. There was one that I had never heard of, and it was the official Frogger, and it was developed, I believe, in-house by Sega. Now, remember, I had said earlier that the Parker Brothers had secured the rights to the carts in distribution.
Right.
But they did not do it for all mediums. So I did not know this, but Star Pass Supercharger, it gives you the ability to play tape games, cassette tape games, on the Atari 2600. I never heard of this thing.
I'd never ever heard of that. That's news to me.
It's brand new to me too. It was originally called the Arcadia Supercharger, and it looks like a cart.
Yeah.
And you plug it in, and on the other end of the cart is a headphone kind of cable.
Yeah.
And you plug that into your standard cassette player like you'd have in the back in the day, like the cassette recorders you'd have. And you would stick your tape in of the official Frogger. And you'd press play, and it would load it all into the cart, and then it would start on your Atari 2600. This thing was amazing, because you know what it did? I did not know this either. The Atari 2600 has 128 bytes of RAM.
Yeah.
This thing, 49 folded it.
Whoa.
It 49 fold memory capacity. From the Good original Lord. To this, I was like, I didn't know that it was the memory that was holding back the Atari 2600. I meant to put some game footage, but we need to see some game footage of this thing, because it is night and day difference. It looks as good as the arcade, if not better.
It's
crazy.
Right now, I'm putting a picture up on the screen of the original arcade Sega arcade cabinet version of Frogger, I believe. I think this is
right. That's not the memory I remember, but I'm not. Yeah, I love that graph, the Atari art on the side.
Yeah, it's pretty great.
I guess not. Well, it's not Atari art.
It would have been
Konami. So, Sega.
Do y'all have this? Here, I'll put this in our Discord too. I had this version of it, and I'll describe it for listeners. It is the Frogger. Let's see if I can. There we go. The Frogger, the little sit down, portable looking thing.
Tabletop arcade. It was one of the most popular ones. It was the Coleco tabletop arcade version of Frogger.
I thought this was great at the time. I thought this was very cool.
Amazing.
Yeah, it seemed really neat to me. But now that I look back, it was like Game & Watch graphics, like, you know, just shitty little.
Absolutely, but it was so much fun to have practically an arcade. I'm posting in here, by the way, if you want to pull that up. That is the StarPath Supercharger Frogger version. But one of the things I loved about Frogger is we've talked about a lot of arcade games in the past with different types of, you know, joysticks and how many buttons. This one's so simple. It's just got a four-way joystick and a couple of buttons to select, you know, players and that kind of stuff when you start.
It's pretty basic. It's it says even up top, though, even though it's a Coleco, this was a Coleco licensed thing at the very top. It says by Sega at the top. I just, for the longest time until we did this episode, I just didn't think of Sega as Frog having anything to do with Frogger.
I didn't either, but we forget how much how different Sega was before they started picking up some properties, how they were during the arcade years. Yeah. It was really different. We need to kind of dig into that. You'll notice that when you started that game up for this, we're playing on screen, the StarPath Supercharger Frogger, and there is a loading screen, which I had never seen on any Atari before. But what it is the time that it takes for the tape to load all that data into the cart.
And you can rewind the tape from that interface. Which is a weird, weird concept to consider.
You can still use it. This is a problem that I run into frequently with my 8-bit computers. Is a lot of those use the cassette form for games. And if your machine or your tape player is not functioning, then you're in trouble. With this StarPath Supercharger, you can pick one up off eBay for like about $100, and you can use any way that you can play an MP3. Yeah. People have archived these games into MP3 format. You just plug that into your phone or your computer or whatever, and you can literally use original hardware and just drive that data right to that supercharger.
I love that.
And it'll just play.
I love that. Keeping it freaking data that isn't music in an MP. I mean, all MP3s are data at the end of the day, but.
Yeah, it's you're taking digital to analog back to digital.
Right.
I mean, that's what we're doing.
That's pretty wild. All right. Well, it's sequel time, everybody. Listen to this. Yeah, different music, different time. This is Frogger 2, and this was also on the 2600.
Yeah.
You say that
you'll
with
notice,
a little
You'll notice my enthusiasm for Frogger 2, 3-deep.
How do you feel about Frogger 2, 3-deep?
Feel like I hate it
so
much.
I know I hate hockey. It. There's zero. I really don't like it. It's not very good. It's weird. Because the game, it suffers from all the same technical issues that the previous game did, but you're in the water flashing. This time. You're trying to avoid fish.
Yeah, we're a frog, but you're trying to avoid fish. There's like some kind of seaweed coming up. You're basically still running across lanes, but you're in water. But you're not underwater. You're on top of the water, having to cross over lily pads. There's a bird that you can hop on. I think I'm about to hop on this little duck here, a bird here. It takes you automatically to the next level. There's three levels, I believe. But it's all water-based. Where's the cars?
Exactly.
Where's the passion that was the original, which was inspired by our creator, Koji Tom Fuka. I don't want to say it wrong.
I know you don't really want to get that
easy
one
to
wrong.
Anyway, Koji, being the developer,
Koji, my old pal Koji. Yeah,
right. His initial seed for creativity was that he was at a stoplight, and he saw a tiny frog jumping across, trying to get across traffic, and he got out and picked it up and helped it along its way, but it stuck with him. And that was the game mechanic. So he's like, oh, okay, this is the game mechanic. And here is just, you're in an ocean, a lake.
Sort of, I guess. What's the seaweed business? It never seems to.
Yeah, the seaweed's a pain in the ass because it grows behind you.
Yeah.
And you can just accidentally run into it. There's the, on the third screen when you're doing this, you can bounce higher and higher.
Yeah.
It's got, it doesn't need to be Frogger. How about that?
Also, this does not need to be Frogger. I don't know how you jump from a lily pad to a blue whale. You know, that doesn't make any sense.
Right. I mean, I know it's video game logic. You also can grab, there's air bubbles that are coming up and that helps you get points and stuff. But it's just not fun, period.
Yeah, it's a bad game. It's a bad game.
Frogger 2, 3 Deep is challenging. It kept the challenging part, but it dumped the fun part.
Agreed. Full agreement on this point. Now, I think that caused a bit of sadness in the Frogger world. And there was a big, long pause.
There was a Frogger rift.
Yeah. And the pause was long and palpable. It was like, well, guess what? We're not going to do Frogger for a long ass time. But eventually, they did. And that game is this game. Some jaunty music.
Yeah.
A little bit of like setup there. And then boom, here we go. Go. A really bad pre-rendered intro. Yeah, that's right. We're talking about the PlayStation era. And 1997 saw the reinvention, if you will, of our favorite little frog dude.
He's back is the title of it, actually. It's Frogger, but then in little bitty red font is He's Back. And they list it differently everywhere.
Yeah, it's always got a different name. He's Back is the most common one if you're searching for videos or something. That's how you find it.
Yeah.
It's actually, I played this. This is a fun game.
Wait, are you gaming? On a Chromebook?
Yeah, it's got a high-res 120Hz display, plus this killer RGB keyboard, and I can access thousands of games anytime, anywhere.
Stop playing.
What?
Get out of here.
Huh?
Yeah, I want you to stop playing and get out of here so I can game on that Chromebook.
Got it.
Go ahead, break it down. Discover the ultimate cloud gaming machine, a new kind of Chromebook.
I think everybody owned the PlayStation version of Frogger. I've seen so many copies out in the wild. I remember having a copy. PlayStation Windows 3D starts out in retro. It is just like the original, as far as, you know, crossing a couple of streets and hopping logs and a river. This time you're trying, instead of just being rando frogs, you're trying to save, I guess, your kids.
Yeah, I think your kids.
Different colors.
Yeah, and you save, instead of you lodging yourself in there five times with five different frogs, you're just saving five of your kids.
Yeah.
You're a busy frog save with them. A high libido and a wife who's full of work. You know what I mean? Like, you've really gone crazy. Yeah. I guess that's how tadpoles work. But anyway, it's just really fun. Snappy to play. Looks good. Yeah. I think it even looks good today. Like, kind of a stylistic choice of art that defied the usual jittery, ugly PlayStation.
It's like low poly. So it's low poly 3D for the PlayStation instead of, you know, trying to do all this dithering and everything. So I think it really works and holds up, like you said.
Yeah, it's fun. It's my second favorite. My favorite we still haven't talked about yet. So that'll leave you wondering what I'm going to talk about, because there's one that I think is the best version to play. And we'll get to that here.
There are a few, and you're still picking up. It's not your, there's still a lady frog. She's pink.
Yep.
Of course. I'm not sure who that's supposed to be. I hope it's your wife that you've had these five baby frogs with, but
she hopped a log in the arcade. She hopped a log with you, took a ride. You guys hit it off before you knew it. You were married. Yeah.
Yeah. Watch out for those bulldozers, by the way. Those things will flatten a frog.
No, they're dicks.
In a second.
Bulldozers are dicks. But notice that the same layout here is happening. Really fast car in the upper lane, slow trucks above that. Like, they really stuck to what made Frogger good in the first place.
Yeah.
And I think introduced you to
they introduced you back into the He's Back world of Frogger. Now, later levels, of course, get more complex. But this first part, all top down, you might as well just said somebody 3D-ified the original Frogger, because this is what they did.
Yeah. You know what I could have gone for? I could have gone Frogger. It's hard to put my finger on this, but I'll try to explain. So this form of Frogger is the Frogger we all think of. And there are other games we're not bringing up today where they attempt to take Frogger and make him more of a platform hero. Like,
This is the Elizabeth Falconer recognized, the simplistic gameplay of Frogger and laid it in. And if you don't know the story behind Elizabeth Falconer, who took Koji Tom's idea and got it pushed through. She had to argue with a bunch of executives. She was a market researcher. She found this game and she put it, brought it for the board. And she said, let's make this. And they said, no, this is a woman and kids game. This is the early 80s when this was going on. Right. And then she says, well, yeah, that's what you said about Pac-Man. And so they, after throwing the documents back and forth a couple of times, they said, go make your stupid woman kids game, Elizabeth Falconer, and go put it in some bar somewhere and let's see if it succeeds. And guess what?
Yeah.
Here we are in 2023 talking about the Frogger.
Yeah. The Frogger still lives. It still lives. But all those other attempts, they just kind of fell flat. The best version of a spin out of Frogger I can think of is not even Frogger, but it's ripped off from Frogger. And that's Crossy Road was a huge hit.
Yes.
But Crossy Road was basically Endless Frogger. Yeah. And turns out that's what people wanted. I really like it. It's fun. I still like it.
That game loop is universal. Yep. And it is addicting and it's fun. And I'm with you. Crossy Road is amazing. And we've seen a lot of Frogger games make it to the iPhone. And we don't talk about those because, first of all, they weren't great. And second, they're way past the retro era that we talk about.
That's true. But the company who made that game makes also Pac-Man 256. They also make that weird 3D chunky graphic Galaga looking thing. Mm-hmm. These were all originally phone games. You can also play them on PCs and stuff. They're really good at those. That company should make reimaginings of retro games more often. That should be their thing. I guess it is their thing. That's what they make.
It is their thing. And we looked at in this most recent Frogger, by the way, we had left behind the Sega, Konami, Parker Brothers, and now we've moved on to the Hasbro Interactive era for a while. There's always seemed like somebody's picking up Frogger going, this is a good idea.
We could do something with Frogger. Sure.
We can do something with Frogger. Yeah. Let's give us a chance.
Not much lately. Don't feel like we've heard a lot of Frogger lately, you know?
No. And that's too bad.
It is too bad. There's a world for it. There's a place for Frogger. I just don't know what it is yet. You know what's cool? Yeah. Go play Namco's Pac-Man Championship Edition 1 and 2.
Oh, yeah.
Those games had a way of reinventing what we thought of Pac-Man for a whole new audience and for lovers of the old game alike and making everybody happy, even though it was not the original game.
Right.
Do something like that with Frogger. I know it can be done. I'm not a game designer. I can't tell you how to do it. I just know it's there. All right.
I thought there was some kind of Frogger something. I couldn't find it, but I could have swore they'd done some kind of twist on that Frogger version as well, but I couldn't find it. And if somebody knows, maybe I'm
it'd be like Frogger that. Extreme or some dumb.
Yeah, like Frogger that. Extreme. That's exactly what I was looking. Actually, one of the terms I looked up was Frogger Extreme because I figured that was there is something called Frogger Extreme.
Is it?
Let's see what this is. This is lame. But yeah, I was thinking the same thing too. Warcraft 3 Frogger Extreme number 2. What is this crap?
What? There is a mini. There's a Frogger mini game in World of Warcraft in a quest.
Oh, is it really?
Yeah. Just a little.
Do you do it like next to a river or something? Or?
It's a little one-off and you control. Okay. I'm trying to remember what you do. It's more of a maze though, I guess, but it's very, it's reminiscent of Frogger.
Right.
That's interesting. I think I want to say that was.
Newgrounds had a Frogger Extreme. Brian must click this. One day we'll have to talk about Newgrounds is the.
We'll talk about Newgrounds and their role in like, I don't know.
Online video some micro games before we really got them on the self before we really got the phone micro games.
Yeah.
It was kind of the place
for for like 2000s kids that place was your place, man.
Yeah.
That was a very cool thing. Just a side note about Elizabeth Falconer, by the way, her name is Falconer, like a falcon, someone who does falcon work. That's cool.
That's right. That is cool.
She was also one of the very few American masters of the koto, a Japanese zither, is a traditional instrument in Japan, and she has licenses to teach in two Japanese schools. She began playing it in 79 and did a bunch of stuff in Japan and then studied under Nagani Utayami. Anyway, this is all before her. The bit you talked about, but
yeah, her given the higher ups comeuppance.
Yeah.
Well, was it cool, like Paramount was like the bigger owner of, because I think Sega had, so it was like, I really need to dig in deeper, but I know in the arcade years, Sega had picked up Gremlin, who was
Gremlin.
Bigger in the arcade stuff, and it became Sega Gremlin, and then it kind of
It's so weird. It's weird hearing that gremlin. I've not heard. There's a name I've not heard.
There's a name I have.
All right, let's get to Frogger 2-3. Not three. That's the wrong one. I'm on the wrong one. Here it is. Frogger 1998 Genesis and 1998 Super Nintendo.
Frogger, he's back, was such a actual reminder of what Frogger could do. So much so that they decided to also drop, Hasbro and Active decided to drop a Frogger for this system.
Yeah, and they did. Now here is where things get weird for me. The Genesis version, which I usually, it's weird when we do cross versions that covered both 16-bit systems had them. I usually prefer the Genesis version for a bunch of reasons.
Right.
I can't even explain most of the time why I like them more, but this is a case where the Genesis version goes for arcade perfectness. It wants to be as good or maybe even a little better than the original arcade game. And that is what you get, both graphically, presentation, sound, all of it. The Super Nintendo one? Listen to this shit. This is so good. Ribbit. I mean, that's very different, isn't it?
Yeah.
That doesn't sound like a Frogger game. Well, guess what? Now look at the video here. If I skip ahead some. They went for this cool pre-rendered looking imagery.
Yeah.
It's almost like they made the Sega game.
Like, yeah, it looks more Sega to me. Yeah. It looked like if you had told me this the opposite, because it's got, like you said, it's like the sprites are like 3D rendered.
Yeah.
Some almost kind of 3D rendered looking.
Sort of top-down view, kind of like 3D perspective. Yeah, a little bit.
And the where you land your frogs, even the sprites. So there's cover art to this game where it's like Frogger, he's back, and they use that graphic for their sprites. The girl frog in this is obviously a girl frog because, you know, it's not like just color shaded. It's a girl with it's a frog with a bow.
It's a frog with a bow. But anyway, Pac-Man sort of deal. Yeah.
Yeah. They're leaning into it.
Yeah. This is my so to get to make a long story short, this is my favorite one. I really like this one a lot. I don't know what it is. I just like it.
It has the most personality, but I still think it's hard to say. I was tempted to pick up the Frogger for the Sega Genesis because I always had my Sega Genesis hooked up, and I was looking for something that's kind of arcade closely to arcade perfect.
Yeah,
I think it'd be a good experience, but I'm with you. There's something unique about this one. And wouldn't you be a little bit upset? Both of these ended up being either the final or next to final carts that were released for either one of these. I know systems.
This is
1998.
Late.
This is like the dying throes of both of these systems. And we had just seen the PlayStation. So you're looking over there and your buddy's got a PlayStation and he's got a Frogger. He's back. All right, cool, cool. And so you see, oh my gosh, I haven't upgraded yet. I still got my Sega Genesis, and they just released Frogger. He's back. I'm going to show my good friend what's up.
Yeah.
And then you just get some kind of arcade port.
Yeah. It's weird. You'd be so pissed. It's very weird, but it's a fun version of the game. If you're out there and you're emulating SNES games or you're just looking for a cartridge, this would be the one I'd get personally.
Yeah.
It's the most
interesting to look at because, I mean, the other one, you can just play arcade Frogger. You don't have to have the Sega Genesis version.
No. Yeah. I guess so this leads me to a question. Do you think there is a future for Frogger? Like, is there, like, other than us being all, you know, nostalgic about it, is there a future for this character?
The only way you could bring it into modern gaming, we've kind of already done, which is the action platformer kind of stuff. And I just don't think... We never dug deep enough into Frogger, even though there was a cartoon. Even that was very flimsy. He just doesn't have much story, really. And so, I mean, the real exciting part about Frogger is the gameplay. Mm-hmm. So I don't think story-wise, there's nothing there.
Yeah, I agree. There's a game, brand new game out last year called Frogger and the Rumbling Ruins, and it's basically, I think that's a Konami published deal.
Is that a remake of the 3DS one? I think similar to that.
I think it is the 3DS game. Let's see.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think it's is it a remake though?
It might be a remake. I think that was part of it. I'm actually running Frogger Beyond, which I think is a sequel to the one you're talking about. Mm-hmm. The And I'm running that on the GameCube right now. So
this one doesn't say what platform this is on, but maybe it's phones. I don't actually know.
It's cute and all, but I don't know. Like I said, I think the real you can make a 3D platform. You wouldn't need Frogger to make your platformer. So I mean, just freaking make something fast and rad, like you said. Make one of those neon, splashy,
yes. You know, and you can do like different effects on it. It's like, hey, I want it to look all neon right now. Nope, next one I want it to look crusty or whatever. Make it look like 8-bit or, you know, like give us some fun. And those are some of your unlocks, right? You're unlocking skins and you got this cool techno music and crazy lights. And I don't know what the gameplay answers are, but that's what game designers are for. Get to it.
Yeah, get to it. Give me a new Frogger in an interesting way.
The problem is Konami, they're bad about old IPs. They're bad. They just are.
Yeah.
Once in a while, they do something smart like, here's a Castlevania collection, or here's a remake. Possibly, we're going to find out at this next PlayStation event. We'll find out if they're really working on a remake of Metal Gear Solid 3, which would be great because that's an amazing game by all accounts. Right. I never played it. Why they hold on to stuff, old stuff, and just don't do shit with it. And it bugs me. Tries me crazy.
As a matter of fact, but there is something next week, right? Isn't the
I saw a Frogger. Yeah. I saw a Frogger. I totally forgot to say this. While I was in Vegas, I saw a Frogger slot machine.
Did you put some? Yeah. Well, that's interesting.
I didn't do anything. I just saw one, and I went, "Wow, that's weird." And it was just like a normal slot machine, but it was one of the new ones with the big curved screens and the whole digital everything and all that. But so some of these IPs, and I know a lot of Konami stuff is in casinos and whatnot, but some of these IPs you'll see show up in ways like that.
I love how you've said Konami do something, and I think next episode is going to be about Konami doing something.
Yeah, we're going to we're definitely
retro gonna do franchise.
That. Yeah, for sure. So stick around for that announcement that's coming up. But there you go, Frogger. It's still a threat, everybody. But not
it's a still a threat.
Still a threat. Yeah. Still out there. He's ready to jump on you.
And we didn't cover a whole body of things that happened post this part of the Frogger because, are they really that interesting? I don't know. And then they're not retro.
They're more modern. Yeah. But yeah, Frogger's seen some stuff.
He's seen some stuff.
Yeah,
I enjoy this Frogger Beyond. Okay, it's not bad. Like I said on the GameCube.
Yeah,
it's kind of retro.
Kind of fun. Yeah,
it's kind of fun. But it's about as far as you can go with a Frogger game, though.
Yeah, but it deserves. It's despite these issues that we've mentioned.
Yeah,
with its inability to sort of grow. It deserves classic status, I think.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And Crossy Road, would we even have Crossy Road, which is also its own amazing thing.
See, that's one of the kind of thinking we need. We need somebody to come to Frogger and go, all right, well, Crossy Road really figured out a way to extend it. Now we'll do our take with the IP and we'll go nuts with some kind of cool, jazzed up piece of business. They got to do something.
We got to do something. You can't sleep on Frogger.
That's right.
You'll get warts.
If you sleep, you'll miss this.
Destroy it.
Time to play Guess Our Game. We play a little audio from an old game, and we try to stump each other or guess what each other brought to the table.
Oh, I thought we was going to try to stomp each other.
Oh, no stomping? Oh, that's a shame. Oh, you've already guessed my game. It was Rampage. Just kidding. here's my clip, Brian. Let's give you some hints. It is a Super Nintendo Entertainment System game from 1993. All right? 93.
Okay, so Super Nintendo Entertainment System 1993.
Yep. Right. Here's your sound.
It's scary.
A little bit. Well, sorry.
This is 5 years prior to that Frogger thing we just looked at.
Yep.
Oh, sounds like some text. Sounds like we're in a jungle. Don't know what that was. Is this top down?
It is top down. I'll say top down, but three quarter view sort of.
Okay, that's fine. Yeah, that's what I kind of meant. Yeah, it's not side scrolling or anything.
No, there's some music for you.
Are there any prehistoric creatures involved?
Yes, there are.
Okay, interesting. I was getting kind of a prehistoric rainforest kind of vibe. So,
yeah. Here's some more. The music's so stupid. And you'll understand why it's stupid when we get to it. But any other guesses? Any other ideas?
Is this part of a series?
Oh, how do I answer that?
Is there more than one in
with
this?
Its title? Yes, they're not series like a typical trilogy or something, but they're
right.
They're scattered throughout video game time.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, and none. I don't know that I've ever played one that was exceptional. They've all been just kind of okay. That was your third question.
And that was my three questions. Yep. Interesting. I don't think I got far enough. I'm like Frogger. I made it to like the center area and then the snake bit me.
Yeah.
I was doing really good. And now I'm like, shit.
I'll tell you one. I'll give you one other answer you didn't ask for. Someone in the chat says Turok. It is not Turok because there was not Turok on the SNES. That was an N64
right.
game.
Right.
But I get the zone. I mean, you're in the zone.
Yeah, it's absolutely that. In that type of the questions I asked. That makes sense. Yeah. Is it The Land Before Time?
Oh man.
I don't know.
You're weirdly close and you were close on a lot of
points. Is it dinosaurs? That Disney dinosaur movie?
It is definitely dinosaurs. The game is called Jurassic Park.
Oh man, it did not sound like Jurassic Park. I would not guess that.
That's what's funny about it is the game doesn't have any licensed version of the music from John Williams. So all
see,
of
that's what I would
wrong.
Expect. You have Jurassic Park, you use some Jurassic Park sound, man.
Yeah, I agree. It's a fun little game though. It's not bad. You run around shooting dinosaurs, trapping them mainly.
Oh, yeah, I remember this.
Yeah, it's all right. It's fun.
That looks like, oh, we got to cover this one day. This looks like fun.
I kind of thought the giveaway would be 93 because that's the year the movie came out. And that's always what I think of.
I love this art style too.
Oh, yeah, it's good.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's fun. It's fun. Look it up, listeners. It's
chunky. It reminds me of some Zelda stuff there. Look at that.
Yeah. That's nice. Kind of has that kind of, that's my favorite part about it. The thing is you go, the only weird part about it is when you're out in the jungle, it's great. That's the view. Mm. It's a fun little shootery kind of thing. But then you go into these buildings and it turns into kind of almost a Doom style first person
Doom
thing.
Doom kind of stuff. Yeah, I'm seeing that. I actually like that.
And you see it through these goggles and it's really choppy in there. It's my only complaint.
Yeah.
But other than that, it's pretty neat.
Did I ever play this one? It feels like I played it, but it kind of feels like I didn't. But it definitely looks like the Doom for the SNES version when you're on that first person looking. Do you remember the red carts for the SNES?
Oh yeah.
Yeah,
those are cool.
I love some red carts.
I
cool.
like a red cartridge. I do.
Doom had one of had those.
I don't mind I don't like gold cartridges. They just look stupid to me. Not a fan. Like if I had a Zelda one, fine, I'd have it, Ocarina or whatever. But I don't really care about it. But a red cartridge, man,
so sexy.
Yeah, I think there's even one or two Genesis cartridges that were pure red. I don't know what games they were.
Oh yeah, there are the Carnage.
Was the Carnage
one I'm actually playing in the back behind me? I think that's red, isn't it?
Dude, Carnage rules.
Yes,
I like can we do Carnage one day?
We got to do Carnage. What choice do we have?
I think we should do Carnage. Okay, Brian, I'm gonna play yours. What's my initial hint here? What do we got?
We got us a game from the NES from 1987.
87 NES. Here we go. This is good. Based on an IP, no? Or yes or no? Oh.
I mean, it's not like it's a TV show or nothing.
Okay,
so
not like a movie or something like that. Yeah. Oh, okay. Well, that answers my question. Oh my gosh. I like that riff. Is it a Nintendo first party game or third party game?
It is what we mentioned earlier. It's a Konami developed and published game.
Konami,
right?
Is it? That sounds like a cop car.
Beep beep beep.
Was that a car with a siren?
I'm trying to no, it was not. Okay. That was not a car. No.
I've squandered my three questions. Gosh dang it.
You didn't even make it past the first sports car on the road. of Frogger.
Oh, this isn't what we're talking about next week. Is it Metal Gear?
Of course it is. Metal Gear.
Oh,
yes.
It's Metal Gear. I see. I would have never gotten it, except I know we're doing that next week.
Perfect. Okay. Yes.
That's totally it. All right. Yep. I should have gotten that, but also that is a great lead in to.
I forgot how good Metal Gear sounded when I was doing my research to go, oh, we need to do this next. And I was like, I listened to it. I was like, oh my God, that is so good. I've got to do that. I was like, I got to do it.
Well, we are going to do it. We're going to talk about that next week. It's going to be great, by the way. Very much looking forward to that. But first, before we can do any of that shit,
before we do any of that crap,
this.
Welcome to the Treasure Room.
Listener feedback time. Yes, that's right. I got a couple of texts here that went to 801-471-0462. People are using that a lot more than email, it turns out, which is fine with us. PlayRetroShow@gmail.com works also. So, you know, whatever way you like, you do it. This is from Colin in Seattle. Says, dropping a line for the Play Retro Show. Does anyone not know who Rob Zombie is? That's the question we asked on the show.
Yeah, Rob Zombie, when we did our metal... Twisted Metal episode.
Twisted Metal. We were like, does anyone, do the kids today know who Rob Zombie is or whatever we said? He says, I'm 33 years old, and the only thing I know about Rob Zombie is I remember seeing his name in a lot of Hot Topic, and my high school girlfriend really liked his music. So there you go.
Yep. You were either in the Rob Zombie crowd or you were outside of the Rob Zombie crowd. Yeah. He was not a household name. If I look at Mom and said, Mom, remember Rob Zombie? She'd be like,
Eh, who's that? Who's this?
What are you talking about now?
Young man you're speaking of?
Right. Yeah. Who died?
Why are all our moms the same? I don't know. Here's one from Chris in Rhode Island who says, hey guys, I'm listening to the River City Ransom episode, and you mentioned the Dreamcast needing an adapter to go online. It actually shipped with a 56K modem. You could buy a separate broadband adapter. It's pretty hard to find now, says Chris in Rhode Island. It's absolutely right. I went back in my memory and looked at some packing material stuff. And sure enough, that thing did come built in with a 56K modem. It wasn't even a dongle. It was like in the box.
Yeah. And that's actually one way that you can connect it to the internet now. You can actually connect that. If you have a Raspberry Pi, you can set it up to be kind of a go-between, like a modem that will answer the modem calls from your Dreamcast.
So what does that mean? You could do multiplayer?
Joey Image clued me in on that thing. I didn't know anything about that. But yeah, when I went back and looked at that, I was like, oh, I got that wrong. So you are absolutely right, Chris.
Yeah. Joey's a huge Dreamcast fool. He loves them.
Yeah.
Big fan of that business. Yeah, that's cool. I didn't know that. But I did know about the adapter, and that's how I played, or not adapter, but the built-in modem. I played NFL 2K, I guess it was. Mm-hmm. With my friend over that thing, just telling my wife to quit picking up the phone that whole time we play. Like we'd be third down, two yards to go to get a fourth. I'm going to win this game. Hello? I hear some kind of phone pickup. Damn it. Disconnect. Doesn't save it. There's no way to keep your session. You're screwed. It's the worst.
Nothing more disheartening than hearing someone's voice come across your modem speaker.
Yeah. Hello? What's going on? It used to piss me off so bad. But anyway, thank you, Chris from Rhode Island, for that information. All right. As hinted earlier, our next game discussion is going to be Metal Gear, the retro years, Metal Gear in 87, the NES game, or maybe even before that in the UK.
Yeah, the MSX. I played it a little bit on my Mr. FPGA. Did not know that it was there first. And I got to say, you might be surprised what I have to say.
Yeah, you might be. We'll talk about Snake's Revenge 2, which was Solid Snake 2, basically. And 98's Metal Gear Solid. Gear. One of the most important games in the history of games and certainly of the PlayStation 1 era. And that whole history is really fascinating. So we're going to do that whole history is what I meant to say. We're going to do the whole thing come next week. And next week comes quick because we're recording this on a Saturday to make up for some travel time.
Yeah.
And we're going to turn right around and do this on a Wednesday, this coming Wednesday.
Yep. All right. I've already started doing research. This is why I had to plant that thing early. I was like, oh my God, what are we going to do? So I played Metal Gear last night on the MSX and it was amazing.
Was
MSX
it glorious? Emulation. Was it glorious? Yeah. Would you
it actually was. And I popped into the NES version and I wasn't as impressed, but I didn't play for very long, so I've got some digging to do.
Yeah. Get that digging going.
Yeah, dig them.
Anyway, that is next week. We will be talking all about MGS and its varied history. A little Kojima for you folks at home, okay? We'll see how genius we think he is after our discussion. I think we'll probably think he's even a bigger genius than we thought before. Agreed. Anyway, that's next week. That's next Wednesday, in fact.
I think he wasn't a big fan of the NES version.
No, he didn't love it. He said as much. We'll talk about that. But a lot of people don't like their first work, you know?
Yeah.
A lot of people are like, like the Coen brothers. They don't like Blood Simple, but everyone else does.
But I think he was mad because he did the one for the MSX, and he was okay with that. But then the NES, they butchered it.
Interesting. Maybe he's a little picky about who he works with. all right, that's going to do it for us. Quick note about some brand new patrons who joined us this week. Big thanks to the following: Dennis, Tom Newton, Russ Cluett, Sean Selders, and Aaron Evans. You guys are the hot new business over here. We really appreciate it. Without your help, the show doesn't exist. So head on over, saunter, if you will, to patreon.com/playretro. You'll never get commercials. Go ahead.
Yeah. Everybody's doing it. And we're finally getting some bonus content out. Actually, there'll be some bonus content for this week.
Yeah. It's stuff we didn't even have to promise for levels. We're just doing it because we love you. You know? No commercials ever over there. No ads. Pre-show content every week. Monthly benefits. Some of this extra stuff Brian's talking about. And that Twisted Metal extra stuff is up there now, or will be when you guys hear
it. Twisted Metal is already up there.
Oh, yeah, Twisted Metal's up.
Yeah, so you get the bonus stuff I've already made, and then plus the stuff going forward, which this week is going to be a little further look into Frogger. So we're going to go Frogger beyond.
Yeah. I think I'm going to do a little shorty on... Metroid Fusion. I think I want to talk about why I love Fusion so much. I know I've done it before, but I just want to go a little deeper on why I think that game is so special. Anyway, go check that out. Patreon.com/playretro. That is going to do it for us. Brian, anything to add before I go?
You better get to hopping if you're going to get all the way across this road and save some frogs.
I think you're not wrong about this idea. All right. Well, that's my advice as well. Have a fantastic couple of days till we see you again next Wednesday. We'll see you then.
If you like what you just heard, there's a very good chance you will like all the shows on the Frog Pants Network. Get more at frogpants.com.
Very lifelike. Ribbit.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50. Luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
I'm Ina Garten. Welcome to Be My Guest, the podcast. One of the best gifts you can give friends is spending time together. But what's even better than that? Cooking with them. On Be My Guest, the podcast, new friends and old stop by my barn for some conversation and great cooking. We talk about food, life, and everything in between. Listen to Be My Guest, the podcast with me, Ina Garten, and join us wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.